Good evening. Please do turn with me to Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews and chapter 1. The Bible reads, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." But which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Shall we turn to the Lord in prayer? Our blessed God and Father, the Father of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we count it a great privilege for us to forget about the hassles and bustles of this life and seek to focus our every attention upon you on this day that you have set apart, the Lord's Day. We thank you for how that you have undertaken for us both morning and now in the evening service. We thank you for the privilege to worship you in song, in giving, in the public reading of scripture, as well as public prayer. We now want to pray that as we get into the ministry of your word, Lord, that you alone would receive all the glory and all the honor. We pray that you would be able to speak to each one of us, preacher and listener alike. This is our prayer through that worthy and blessed name of our Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 18. Deuteronomy and chapter 18. And we'll pick up our reading from verse 9 right up to 22. Deuteronomy and chapter 18, verse 9 to 22. And the Bible reads, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. The great part of the book of Deuteronomy contains farewell messages that Moses gave to the wandering children of Israel as they prepared to journey into the promised land. Deuteronomy does reveal to us that the Lord is the only true God. He is the jealousy God, a faithful God, a loving God, a merciful God, and yet at the same time, a God who cannot tolerate sin. And this is the God who called Israel to himself. And it is not surprising that time and again we hear Moses repeatedly using the phrase, the Lord your God. And he does so deliberately to invoke obedience on the part of the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy and chapter 18, verse 9 to 12, Moses does give specific instructions to the children of Israel not to follow the abominable ways or practices of the Canaanites. He tells them about those who sacrificed children in the fire, those who practiced witchcraft, those who were involved in soothsaying, those who interpreted omens, those who practiced sorcery, spiritism, and at the same time, those that sought to communicate with the dead. And surely, this was not a life to which God called the children of Israel. And what Moses is saying is unlike the Canaanites who listened to the soothsayers and the diviners, the children of Israel must not do so. If that be the case, the question that begs an answer is, how must the children of Israel live? Who should they listen to, seeing that Moses is towards the end of his life? And in response to that, in Deuteronomy and chapter 18 and verse 15, we hear those words of comfort. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And this is advanced as a reason why they must not listen or even consult, as it were, soothsayers or diviners. Today, I would like to draw your attention to the subject of a promise of a new prophet. And this is based on Deuteronomy and chapter 18, verse 15 to 22. Moses, among many other things here, highlights the promise of a new prophet. The role of this new prophet, and consequently how the children of Israel must respond to this new prophet. A prophet is one who speaks in the place of God, who conveys God's word, as it were, to men, who is an interpreter, if you wish, of God to men. And one of the prophet's main tasks was to interpret the moral law to the people of God. We have examples of prophets like Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and many others. And in the Old Testament, the prophets are categorized as major on one hand and minor on the basis of the volume of their writings. Moses, as the first major prophet, announces to the children of Israel that God would raise up for them a prophet like himself. He says this in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And this is in reference to the coming of that ultimate prophet, the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, like Moses, would not only receive, but in fact proclaim divine revelation and lead his people. But how do we know, beloved brethren and friends, that this text is referring to Jesus Christ? It is indeed on the basis of what we see in Acts and chapter 3, verse 17 to 23. Not only there, we also see similar sentiments expressed in Acts and chapter 7, verse 37. With regards to Acts and chapter 3, verse 17 to 23, the Apostle Peter closed a great sermon by making reference to Deuteronomy and chapter 18, verse 15 and even 19. He reminds us, or tells us, these words: For Moses truly said to the fathers, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, and whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. In Acts and chapter 7, verse 37, Stephen recognized Jesus as the prophet spoken by Moses. Listen to those words in verse 37. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. These scriptures, beloved brethren and friends, make it clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the promised prophet by Moses, who was in fact greater than any of those Old Testament prophets. He is the Holy One and the Righteous One. Yes, we should say, he is the author of life. and the Christ, who was in fact foretold by many of the Old Testament prophets. Moses is saying that God would raise up a prophet like me. And in what ways was Jesus Christ like Moses? Well, Moses and Christ were leaders. Moses and Christ, prophets. Moses and Christ were lawgivers. But Moses and Christ were mediators as well. And more specifically, Jesus Christ was like Moses in the following ways. Moses was the mouthpiece that God used to deliver the children of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that God appointed to purchase your redemption and mine. On the other hand, Moses is the one that God appointed to deliver the law on Mount Sinai to the children of Israel. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, with great authority, we see him delivering on that Sermon on the Mount the law of God. In fact, Scripture tells us that he did not come to do away with the laws of Moses, but rather to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Moses was the mediator of a covenant between God on one hand and the children of Israel, and consequently representing God to the people. Not only that, Moses interceded for the children of Israel whenever they sinned against God. In like manner, the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator of that new covenant standing between God and man and applying, as it were, the ministry of reconciliation based on his work of atonement. Moses performed many miracles. You no doubt remember the plague, the parting of the Red Sea, the gushing of water from that rock, the provision of bread and quails in the wilderness. Similarly, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament healing the sick, feeding multitudes, walking on water, and raising the dead. Moses officiated at that first Passover meal in Egypt. Our Savior Jesus Christ presided at that last Passover meal celebrated as the Lord's Supper. Just like Moses judged the people in Exodus 18, the Lord Jesus Christ will return as our judge. And the Bible in John and chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, makes it very clear, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Both Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ were saved from death in infancy. You no doubt remember the king of Egypt commanding the midwives to kill baby boys at birth. But Moses, after birth, was hidden in that basket in the Nile River. And the Lord Jesus Christ, at infancy, was taken to Egypt. Why? To run away, as it were, from Herod, who was seeking to kill him. The Bible tells us, now when they had departed, and that is in Matthew and chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Beloved brethren, it is not only these portions of scripture that we've seen or examined that show us beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the new prophet that Moses was referring to. We also see the evidence of Jesus Christ as prophet sent from God based on the conclusions of those who witnessed his ministry. Philip was one of the early witnesses. He said to Nathanael in John and chapter 1 verse 45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Even the despised Samaritan woman acknowledged Jesus in John and chapter 4 verse 25. As she said, "I know that Messiah is coming who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." The common people were also expecting the prophet like Moses. For instance, after Jesus had multiplied the loaves and the fish, some people exclaimed, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." In John and chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus told the Jews who were persecuting him in John and chapter 5, verse 45 to 46, listen to those wondrous words. "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." What was this new prophet going to do? It is evident from Holy Scripture that this new prophet had a twofold mandate. Firstly, he was going to speak or declare all that God had commanded. If you wish, forth telling. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, we are told, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." And therefore, it was not for the new prophet to speak his own words, but that which God wanted to communicate to his people. "Yes, thus says the Lord," is a motto of biblical prophecy. It is not surprising that Jesus Christ told the Jews, when they marveled at his teaching, he answered them in John 7, 16 to 17. "My doctrine is not mine, but he is who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." This new prophet not only declared the very words of God, but he was going to speak in the name of the Lord. And you know what? All that he said, all that he would declare, would of necessity come to pass. And thereby confirming that he is a true prophet sent from God. In Deuteronomy and chapter 18, verse 22, we are told, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." It was clear that Jesus Christ foretold about his life, Yes, his suffering, his death, even his resurrection to those that he interacted with, and particularly the disciples. How then should you and I respond to this new prophet? Your primary response must be to obey the words of the new prophet, Jesus Christ. This obedience is more than just merely listening to the word of God. But you know what? More importantly, putting the words that you hear into practice. Listen to those wondrous words in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 15b. We are told, him you shall hear. Him you shall hear. And the failure to obey the word of God of necessity attracts punishment. And this is the theme that we see running throughout the pages of Holy Scripture, right from Genesis up to Revelation. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. In verse 19 we are told, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. In short, God demands total obedience from his people. Whether it is convenient or not, we must be a people, beloved brethren, that obey the very words of God. Can it be said of you that you are an obedient person, an obedient man, an obedient woman, an obedient young man, an obedient young woman? Indeed, obedience is better than sacrifice. The sad reality in our day and age is that many people would rather obey man and not God. And we have the so-called prophets who can prophesy about who will win a soccer match and who will emerge victorious in an election. Oh, beloved brethren, we need to test every spirit. In verse 22, Moses highlights the test of who a true prophet is. He tells us, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And the point I'm seeking to underscore is we must not pay attention, beloved brethren, to the so-called prophets of our day. Even if what they say may seem to be appealing to you, our call is to obey our only ultimate prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we must only but obey God. And you know what? That when we obey God, it is in fact an expression of our love for God. Listen to what Moses says in Deuteronomy and chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. And again, speaking to the children of Israel, he says this: if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. God requires total obedience. God is saying you cannot go on living a life of sin and rebellion. He is calling on you to look to this new prophet who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, when you look to him, here is the promise that you will find life and life eternity. Woe to those who refuse to hearken, as it were, to his voice. Woe to those who, when they listen the very words of God, they continue, as it were, as though they have not listened to the very voice of God. Beloved brethren, beloved friend, God calls on you and I to listen to the voice of this great prophet, of this new prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, to listen, but more so, to accept his salvation and to be obedient. How is Jesus Christ a prophet? Now, the office of Jesus Christ as prophet, beloved brethren, presupposes that you and I are ignorant and blind with respect to the very will of God. And it is this ignorance that the prophet of God sought to dispel as they repeatedly said, "Thus says the Lord." Jesus Christ is in fact among the prophets who declared the very word of God. Yes, he is in fact more than a prophet. He towers above all the Old Testament prophets, because he is the very word of God. And here we see a link between the work of Jesus Christ on one hand and his very person. In John and chapter 1 and verse 14, we are told the word became flesh. Yes, in Jesus Christ, the prophetic word of God finds its ultimate expression as the truth of God. Beloved brethren and friends, Jesus is the incarnate wisdom of God, and in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as Apostle Paul would say to the Colossians. Jesus Christ, therefore, reveals God to an ignorant people like you and I. And he is the supreme teacher whose words bear much authority, and to whom all of us who are believers must humbly submit in all things. And more specifically, Jesus Christ as prophet reveals to us the will of God for our salvation. He is our prophet as well as our redeemer. This will of God is not just selective portions of scripture from the Old Testament and perhaps the New Testament, but rather it is the whole counsel of God. Or if you wish, it is whatever God would have us know, whatever God would have us believe, whatever God would have us do in order to obtain salvation, in order to live a life worthy of his calling. And this is done primarily by the instrumentality of the Word of God on one hand and the power of the Holy Spirit on the other hand.
In John and chapter 20, verse 31, we are told, but these are written, referring to the word of God, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And in John chapter 14, verse 26, we see the role of the Holy Spirit. Listen to those wondrous words. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Oh, beloved brethren, here is a call for you and I to obey the word of God. The word of God, the very full canon of Holy Scripture, which has been revealed to us. And indeed, there is no excuse, there is no reason why you and I must remain ignorant. Our duty, therefore, is to know the prophetic ministry of the word of God, but also to declare it. How must we conclude? The Lord Jesus Christ is our ultimate prophet, and the new prophet that Moses promised the children of Israel. He indeed is the prophet par excellence. He towers above all the prophets. Your duty, my duty, is to listen to him, to obey him. And clearly so, he speaks to us primarily through the Holy Scriptures and by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We are able to understand what his will is for our lives. Indeed, in the past, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But now, it is through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has declared the Father to you and I. It goes without saying that since Jesus Christ has made a full declaration of the Father to us, the office of prophets has in fact ceased, as there is now no room for new revelation. The Holy Scriptures are complete. However, we need to bear this in mind, that you and I, who are Christians, we have a prophetic role with regard to forth-telling. Even as we declare and proclaim the very words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who know nothing of the saving grace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul is bold to tell us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the point is this: if our friends, our neighbors, our workmates, our children must be saved, then we must not be ashamed of the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is indeed your duty and mine to declare and proclaim this gospel everywhere we go. May God, therefore, beloved brethren, help us to heed the faithful words of Jesus Christ, our prophet par excellence. Oh, that Jesus Christ, who is our prophet and our everlasting truth, that he would lead us, and more importantly, teach us to obey his word. Yes, it's good to listen to the gospel message But more importantly, may we be those who will not only hear the word of God, but put it into practice. May the Lord Himself add the blessings to the ministry of His word. Amen.